Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Well, what can you say when one of the most balmy, crazy MotoGP races of the modern age is the second biggest story to come through in a podcast like this one? Welcome back to Tank Slappers. I'm your host, Dre Harrison. Thank you very much for listening. And you may have noticed this is out a little bit earlier than we normally do around here for Tank Slappers. And there's a big reason for that. You've probably seen it on motorsport.com or autosport.com this morning that, a bombshell has dropped. Jorge Martin is intending to leave Aprilia at the end of this season rather than the second year of his contract. It's a huge breaking news story. Huge thanks to Yuri Puigdemont and the rest of the wonderful Spanish MotoGP team that's been able to put this together. And because of that, we've had to scramble around to sit down and record this emergency podcast. Fun fact, this is the third one of these I've done this week, which is crazy. Yuri, where do we even start on this one? Because this is obviously a huge story, big bombshell. How did this come about?
Well, this came about to me on Friday. Let me say that it's Germán's story. I've known Germán for more than 20 years, and we've been working together for around 10 years now, and we work in a specific way. He has his own sources in the paddock, I have mine ones, and of course we share all the information, but we work separate. Okay. At some point, we share all the information to make the story. So on Friday, he gave me a ring and say, "Well, this is something big. I found out this, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful on how we move and which kind of sources we use. Blah 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 blah." He worked on his side. I work on my side, but the story is Germán's. He broke the story. So the starting point is that Jorge Martin was at Le Mans in a, let's say, incognito mode on Thursday night. He was having some meetings. And he told Aprilia he wanted to leave the team at the end of this season. Initially, he signed for 2 seasons. You will remember that crazy Mugello Grand Prix last year when he agreed on Sunday night with Aprilia to sign with them. It was a super fast operation, maneuver. So the contract was written so fast. And in that contract, there is a clause that says that if after the first six Grand Prix of the year, he is not in a position to fight for a specific, let's say, a standing, he will be able to free himself at the end of this year. That's what he said to Aprilia, "I'm going to use that clause." Of course, he didn't like Aprilia. Start a fight. everybody assumed that he has, let's say, start talking with other manufacturers. There have been a few meetings between the manufacturers involved, Aprilia and the others. So now let's see what's next. I mean, we have the confirmation about all what I just mentioned. After the news, of course, Aprilia was super angry at him, because don't forget that Martin has only been able to compete in one Grand Prix this year in Qatar, and he didn't even finish the race because he had a big crash. So because of they are not agree on what Martin says, they start, let's say, fighting. And then Martin said, okay, let's open another window. I will give you 6 more races from starting the day that I come back. And here's where we are at the moment.
Yeah, also, I've been in such a rush to put this out that I forgot to mention that Richard Asher is here on the show as well. Richard will be chipping in more for the French Grand Prix, which I just felt bad leaving him out to start off with. Rich is here too. I promise we'll get to him later on in the show. But yeah, this is startling stuff, Yuri. And I mean, you made the point, and I can understand both sides of the argument on this one, because I can understand why Aprilia is so angry. Jorge Martin, as you quite rightly said, has completed a grand total of 0 Grand Prix for Aprilia since joining that team. Obviously, we all know what happened in Qatar, the horrible accident there. But he's had very, very little seat time in the first 6 rounds that this clause has covered. And of course, now we know he's not going to be back anytime soon either after that injury, most likely middle of the season, maybe Brno after the summer break or something like that. So I wonder do you have an opinion on this, Yuri? Do you think, like, has Jorge been watching the team's progress, and has maybe that's just forced him into making this decision? Because obviously he's not had a lot of time to ride this bike, but maybe he's been watching the results and realized, oh, hang on, maybe this Aprilia team isn't where I thought they were going to be after these 6 races, and he's decided, okay, I'm going to use this clause and get out of here early.
That's his main point. That's what he says to Aprilia. You have promised me a bike to fight for a specific target. And as far as I see, despite I'm not riding that bike, the bike is not there. Don't forget that Bezzecchi is 12th in the standings. The first Aprilia is Ayokura on 10th position. A rookie. With a satellite team. So you were asking about the progression of the team. Has it been any progression? I mean, during the precision test, Bezzecchi looked super fast, super sharp, but I don't know what happened. What is true is that that's what he says. Also, I would say that don't forget that every time that he jumps on the bike, he crashes. And also the mental aspect might play big here, might have a big impact on the decision. Of course, it's not nice to jump on a bike and every time you go on track, you crash and big time. So when you get injured and hospitals and hard times. So yeah, I mean, that's the picture I think it describes the situation better.
Yeah, some very early thoughts, as I've really only just heard this news. But so I'm giving just gut reaction, intuitive thoughts from the general world of work, which is that I can understand Aprilia being a bit miffed. It doesn't feel, regardless of contracts and all the misfortunes and performance and where he is in the standings, it just doesn't feel intuitively at first glance like a decent thing to do, to be invoking clauses now. A lot of unfortunate stuff has happened. which is to a degree nobody's fault. It seems like the decent thing to do would be for him to at least give it a decent go before he starts trying to get out of contracts. And also, we've talked about the crashes and the struggles for Aprilia. Martin being away is also contributing to the problems for Aprilia, because that's a very good development rider that is not around testing the bike. So there's both sides at play in the struggles a little bit. Again, a lot of it is not really anybody's fault. It's an unfortunate situation all around. It leaves a bit of a bad taste to hear this for me. Again, it's just the first gut reaction before really looking into the story.
I fully understand. I fully understand, and I fully share your thoughts. And don't forget one other thing. He's trying to use exactly the same clause that gave him the freedom to leave KTM. It was back then. It was because of the COVID that he was able to get released from his contract with KTM. Now it's an injury. But I fully understand that Aprilia is super pissed about the situation. And let's see how it ends. I understand that it's a super difficult situation to manage, to deal with from Aprilia point of view, because of course you can fight Martin and try to force him to stay, but at the same time, is it worth it to try to force a rider to jump on your bike if he's been, let's say, direct? Let's wait for his thoughts or for his voice. But I don't think it's good for the image of both Martin and Aprilia to try this situation.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you on that one, fellas. I don't think there's a good ending here for any party involved. Aprilia has, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that Aprilia has struggled so far this season. I think this was meant to be the real kick on. Let's challenge for a championship year. You've signed the reigning world champion. You took advantage of Ducati having too many cooks, essentially, when it came to talent last year. You've got Jorge Martin, huge signing. This was going to be, he's brought the number one plate with you over as well from Ducati as a bonus. Basically, while Jorge Martin's been watching from home, he's clearly seen enough to suggest that this is not the ticket. It's a huge damage to Aprilia's brand, because you're basically telling them that they're not good enough right now. Because if you thought they were good still, you'd wait to come back and you'd be excited to come back and try and get that Aprilia back to where it should be, which is challenging Ducati, obviously. And on the other side of the coin, if you're Aprilia, they've invested a huge amount of resources, time, and money into finally getting a headline rider, one of the best riders in the world, the reigning world champion, on your brand, on your bike. And within six races, of which Martin's been there for one of them, your world champion is telling you that, no, I want to leave in May. Not even like halfway through a season or what, he's had like a bunch of experience and you could say this isn't working out. This is after one Grand Prix weekend with the team and pre-season testing. Yuri makes, I think, a fantastic point. The injuries probably haven't helped. He's very lucky to have come out of Qatar the way that he did. The pre-season injuries as well, they probably have just built a picture in Jorge's head that maybe this isn't where I need to be right now. Well, one big one as well for me, Yuri, before we move on as well. If Jorge Martin does intend to leave, I know he's given Aprilia another sort of six-race window when he comes back, and Martin goes all the way with this, where do you see him going potentially for 2026? Because I like to call this an off-sequence year for contracts. So most riders on the grid are locked in for 2026 already. There's only a handful of seats available on this grid right now. if Martin really does intend and going all the way with this and he intends to leave at the end of the year, where do you see him? And where do you see him next year? Because there's not a lot of great places left for him.
I will try to be clear on that. Nobody, not a single rider, makes this kind of statement without having a clear idea where to go. Especially with the just few races available. Is my, let's say, assumption, or it's me guessing, but guessing with some kind of input. The most logical place to go and the one that he targets is Honda, because Honda has changed a lot in the last year. Now, especially not only in the operational and the internal way of work, but also in terms of budget. And there's not a single manufacturer in the paddock more powerful than Honda in terms of economical muscle. So now they can offer super good conditions. And they are working hard. I don't know if they're going to get there sooner or later, because everybody says the same mantra. How sooner or later Honda will arrive or not. I don't know. But at least they have the tools and the budget to try to get a super rider. And Martin knows that. There was a meeting in Le Mans between Massimo Rivola and the big boss of Honda in the Honda Hospitality, trying to deal in the best possible way with this uncomfortable situation.
Wowee. So you're saying that Honda and Aprilia may have already had some talks in regards to this and yes, the possibility maybe of a move.
At the same time, as far as I know, and knowing, having a bit of experience with the Japanese, working with the Japanese companies, Honda will never make a step forward unless Martin has broken the contract. Martin is free to sign. Until then, Honda won't do any single move. Nothing.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
So in other words, we're going to have to wait and see if this could be a legal dispute. I know we've got to be a bit careful about the language used here, but, obviously Jorge Martin and Aprilia are at some kind of deadlock here about this. And obviously Honda would want someone like Jorge Martin in their setup. I know Luca Marini's out of contract at the end of the season, so there could be an open seat there. But obviously Honda's not going to touch this situation legally until they know 100% that Jorge Martin can sign for them, and there'll be no legal, mess with Aprilia in the background first to sort out. Rich, go to you on that one.
Yeah, that was also my instinctive reaction when I heard the news. There's no way he would cause all of this mayhem contractually at this time unless he has a fairly clear plan of where he's going to go. And I also think he must be thinking more about 27 when the new regulations come than 26. I think the original plan with Aprilia was that he would find his way with Aprilia this year, and then who knows, maybe if things went well, he could challenge next year seriously. Now this year is a write-off, so next year is going to, knocking on from that, probably not be great. So that whole Aprilia plan is kind of out the window. So I would imagine he's really thinking ahead to 27 more than anything.
Yeah, that huge regulation change, going from 1,000cc to 850cc's, ride-height devices being banned. You probably know of this regulation change already if you're listening to us, but that's probably certainly going to be in the mind of Martin. And what potentially could happen. I mean, anyone who knows their Formula One, those big regulation changes tend to reset the field. And if one manufacturer nails those regulations and gets it right, they're going to be at the front of the queue. And maybe that's the boat that Jorge Martin wants to be in for when that change happens in a year and a half's time. And if you're Honda, I mean, no disrespect to anyone in their team, but he's the reigning world champion and he's beaten everybody in the world in order to be in that position in the first place, including a fantastic rider in Francesco Bagnaia, who was on the same bike as he was, Enea Bastianini, same deal. You know, Jorge Martin is still one of the very, very best riders in the world. So if the opportunity is there to sign him and there's no chance of being in a courtroom of Aprilia about this, you take that opportunity. I think that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. But my goodness, do stay up to date on motorsport.com and autosport.com for more developments in this story. Again, Yuri, your man, and the entire Spanish team has done a brilliant job covering this so far, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. Jorge Martin's first press conference is going to be fascinating when that comes around to explain how he got to this point and how he got to this position. One more question, I think, before we move on from this as well, is that this isn't going to go over well with the fans either, that Jorge Martin has made this big fuss about going to Aprilia and now bailing out on them after just a handful of races. I saw some of the social media reactions to this story coming out, Yuri, and I know a lot of people get very defensive about defending championships. I remember Nico Rosberg in Formula One when he won his against Lewis Hamilton, then he immediately retired. And I know that got a lot of people going. Do you think there's going to be some fan backlash or some paddock backlash by some people that Jorge Martin has bailed on Aprilia early, essentially?
You know, I think in that particular matter, you are, don't get me wrong, but you're asking the wrong person. Just because I never believe in this kind of unconditional love for the high-performance athletes, even soccer, football, Formula One. Look, Lewis Hamilton. Look, even the soccer, the football players, even the sponsors. You know, I'm a Red Bull guy, and then the year after, dressed in a monster. So it's just a matter of I don't want to blame anybody, but in the end, I'm not backing what Martinez wants to do, as we mentioned with Richard. But at the same time, I mean, if he has reached that point, he knows that he will get a lot of hate from the social doing this. He is the first one that didn't plan to do this. But at the same time, if he has reached the point where he doesn't see himself racing anymore with the Aprilia, I mean, there's no way out. It has to do something. That's my opinion, what he's doing.
And I think that's why it probably won't end up in a courtroom or anything along those lines. You can't make a rider want to ride for you who doesn't want to be there. That's almost always how it goes in sports. And I think in Jorge's defense briefly, you got to look after number one at the end of the day. And if you don't think this is the place you can win, and you've put a clause in there that says you can get out early, and you see the lay of the land, and you think that this place is better for you, why not take that option? Yes, there's going to be some backlash. That's inevitable, but that's sport. You know, you've got everybody's going to look after their own. Everyone's going to look after number one. And that's often how it goes. But like I said, motorsport.com, keep up to date with this, because again, this is going to be a fascinating story, scoop of the year, quite frankly, for MotoGP. And once again, a salute to the Spanish team and the man who put all this together. Incredible scoop. Oh, by the way, there was also a MotoGP race this weekend. Just thought I'd let you know, in case you missed it. And by the way, Johann Zarco just won a MotoGP race and became France's first MotoGP Premier Class home winner in 71 years. 1954 was the last time we had a home Premier Class winner. And Richard, I'll go to you first on this one. It's only fair. The first 8-9 laps of this race has to be some of the craziest scenes ever for a MotoGP race. Multiple bike swaps, the Marc Marquez rule coming into effect immediately the same weekend it was first installed. Bike swaps, wet, dry, you name it. This was chaos.
Yeah, you can also call it a journalist's nightmare, as the one having to write the report on this race from a distance. Yeah, I realized the limitations in some of the television coverage and had a lot of sympathy for the TV viewers, actually. The Marc Marquez rule, if we want to call it that, I think fair play to the organizers, actually. They did a good job on getting it addressed reasonably quickly so that people knew the rules more clearly in time for this weekend, which is always a candidate for wet, dry situations like we had in Austin. Big sigh of relief that they did that, because I would say, broadly speaking, everyone did know what was going on, it seemed. They understood the 10-rider thing, which applies to the race start, not the warm-up lap start, and the double long lap penalties and being able to take up your spot on the grid and all those things, which we don't have time to get into now, but there are articles again on motorsport and autosport.com that explain that. But broadly speaking, good job to the organizers on getting that and communicating that so the teams understood what was going on. It was interesting. Actually, everyone taking their spot on the grid is really nice and fair for the competitors. And just easier organizationally. But what was quite striking is that for the television viewer who doesn't really know who has now been in to change their bike, who has a penalty hanging over them, who doesn't, you just got a grid that's completely mixed up with people who are in contention and aren't in contention really. And the TV viewer does not have the full picture on that. So that's maybe the only drawback, I would say, of this thing of multiple riders being able to go to the grid with different setups and having penalties hanging over them without really the time for it to be communicated to the wider world. And that was part of why we had chaos, right? The long lap penalties were only kind of communicated, I think, to the teams as well after the start. And then, of course, there's no way to tell the world who's taken their penalties and who hasn't, or who's only taken one, who's taken two. It was one of those races where after a couple of laps, it was just like, okay, we're definitely going to be watching this one a couple of times over to figure out what happened, and we need to wait until everything has settled down, until penalties have happened, till the weather has changed again, as it did after the start. People changed their bikes between lap 6 and 8. And after lap 8, everyone was on the right bike and the right tires, had done their penalties. And only then did we know what was going on. And we could see, okay, Johann Zarco is in a genuine lead. What a great job he did from there. And actually an interesting connection to the Martin issue. Is, of course, there are a number of riders now being connected with that Honda factory seat the one that Marini is currently in for next year. And until this morning, we've been talking about Zarco. And I think Johan Zarco might wake up to this news today, and he might still not be awake. It's only 1 o'clock in Europe, and he's just won his home Grand Prix in the home of Champagne.
Understandable.
Yeah. But whenever he does wake up with a headache, perhaps, he's going to see that Martin news, and the first thing he's probably going to think is, uh-oh, that means he's talking to Honda. So the plot thickens on that one. And of course, let's not forget that Pedro Acosta has also been linked with that Honda ride.
It reminds me of, like, this is might be a bit far back, but I used to watch MotoGP on British Eurosport, and there was that fantastic commentary box of Toby Moody, Julian Ryder, Randy Mamola, Estoril 2006, and the Repsol Honda factory boys are taking each other out. That famous race with Pedrosa and Hayden taking each other out. And Tony Elias was out trying to save Honda on the Gresini and beating Valentino Rossi. And I remember the jokes that Tony Moody and Julian Ryder were making, saying, hey, if Tony Elias wins this race and beats Valentino Rossi, will a Honda suddenly be available for him at the end of the year? That was rigging through my head all through that race. It was incredible drama. And my whole thoughts was the same deal. Johan Zarco in the mix for a factory seat. He's made it clear he wants that factory seat. There was a lot of back and forth about that over this weekend. A couple of weeks ago, it was Pedro Acosta's name that was in the mix. And ironically, it's Johan Zarco on a Honda that denies Ducati the chance to break the all-time winning streak record that Ducati had of 22 consecutive wins. Honda at the last chance, a goal line clearance, I guess you could say, to deny that streak. There's so many different angles to look at this from, and I wish we had a little bit more time to go through them all. But Yuri, I mean, you were there and you were watching along with the rest of us. 120,000 in the house on Sunday alone, 311 over the weekend, an all-time MotoGP attendance record as well, and they got to see a home winner. What was the atmosphere and the feeling like watching that? Because I've never seen anything like it in MotoGP. Incredible.
Yeah, France is always a superb Grand Prix in terms of how the promoters work. It's a unique Grand Prix because the promoter owns the event. He buys the full event. So Claude Michi is the owner of the promoter of the French Grand Prix. And he organizes one of the best events of the year. He does a lot of concerts, a lot of actions inside the paddock too. Like, it's a big call during the year. So that's why the French crowd always packs the venue.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I know they've won awards from the sport itself for how well they've promoted this race in recent years, and it shows. I mean, the numbers keep going up. They broke their own record. I think it was 295,000 last year. They went up to 311 this year, which we've cracked 300K for the first time. This is like borderline Le Mans levels for the actual 24-hour endurance race. So over a weekend, let alone a MotoGP weekend. And yeah, it was a genuine lead for Zarco. Heartbreak for Fabio Quartararo, who was in the mix until his rear end slid out. He was involved as well. And, you know, a fantastic pole position again, back-to-back poles for Fabio. First time since 2021 that he's done that, his world championship winning year. Gutted for him. Also, hard not to say, big weekend for Marc Marquez as well. Second place on the road, a very comfortable, safe second place, and with his brother Alex crashing out Yuri as well twice, as a matter of fact, in that race. The first high side from third dropped him down to sixth because the field was just so spread out on these wet tyres by the time the field had settled down. And then again into Esker Blue, his brakes just went, and then down he goes again. And I mean, now Mark is leaving this weekend with a 22-point lead in the championship. Mark is back in control, which is probably worst-case scenario for the field that Jerez has essentially been cancelled out.
Well, that's, in my opinion, looking at his performance, that's the normality that we have to expect. The anomaly was Jerez and Austin. Every time he jumps on the bike, he's the fastest or the second fastest. If he's the second fastest, it's because he gives himself a margin. So don't forget, again, what I mentioned in the previous podcast, that I haven't seen yet Mark fighting this year. I haven't seen the angry, the aggressive version of Mark. So it just because he doesn't have any potential rival being able to give him hard times.
That's certainly the feeling that I got. I remember watching free practice one where he had half a second on the field, and I think my maths had it that the 6 fastest laps would have topped that practice session. His race pace was terrifyingly quick. We saw it in the sprint as well, obviously. Again, he's 6 for 6, first rider in history to win 6 sprint races in a row. If he gets a clean run, Mark is going to win. I think that's becoming more and more abundantly clear. His pace, he's got 2 free temps on the field. If his head's strapped in and he doesn't make a mistake, he's just that much better than everybody else right now. And it's going to force people into making mistakes. In Pecco Bagnaia's defense, and this is my last big point before we end this podcast, because we're obviously a little bit limited for time, Pecco obviously was taken out in the Grand Prix itself by Enea Bastianini going across that turn one apex and just causing a big pileup between him and Johan Mir on that one. But he tucks the front in the sprint, Rich, and another 12 points lost to Mark and another 9 to Alex. That's arguably his 2 main contenders for the championship. And Bagnaia's been very vocal about this now this weekend, that this seems to be the weekend where Pecco is just admitting, I do not get along with this bike, and that is alarming for him.
Yeah, more than that, he's spoken out quite clearly again in an unusual way for a top sportsman, saying, you know, really, Mark is, he hasn't said in quite this words, but he said Mark is can do things I can't. He said Mark could drive a tractor and be competitive. It sounds very defeatist to me. So psychologically, doesn't feel from a distance like he's in a great place. On top of that comes the issues with the bike. And now he has a real mountain to climb in the championship. He's been kind of hanging on, right? Until now, with Mark making those mistakes and so on. But now 51 points behind Mark. Mark can actually crash in the next 2 Grand Prix. And Pecco could win them, and he still wouldn't be past Mark. So, and also Mark having the 22 point advantage on Alex now. It seems like finally after that careful ride where Alex and Pecco fell off, those 20 points have put Mark in a position that for the first time in a while really represents his superiority.
Could you imagine if he didn't have those 2 crashes? He'd be probably 40, 50, maybe 60 points in front, which would be terrifying. We'd be probably talking about, is this championship over already? And we're only 6 rounds in. Maybe that's why Jorge Martin wanted to leave Aprilia. That 6 round checkpoint of our own. And maybe not so much in this instance. But we're a little bit short on time here, so we're going to leave it there on this one. But again, as mentioned, keep it live on Autosport and Motorsport.com for more on the Jorge Martin story. There's going to be hell of a lot more coverage to come in regards to this. And of course, congratulations to Johann Zarco on a brilliant victory at the French Grand Prix ahead of Marc Marquez. And hey, shout out to Fermín Aldeguer, first sprint and Grand Prix podium in third. We'll have a bit more time to talk about that as well. Great weekend from the youngster. He'll be in the mix as well. We'll be back after the British Grand Prix. It's weird to talk about the British Grand Prix in May, but here we are. The British Grand Prix in a couple of weeks' time. We'll talk a little bit about that as well, coming to you from Silverstone as well. And also keep an eye on the motorsport.com YouTube channel as well. We've got a little interview with Randy Mamola coming up, and he's always a good time. So listen in for that as well. Until then, on this emergency episode of Tank Slappers, I've been Dre Harrison. Big thanks to Yuri Pidgeon and Richard Asher as well for joining me, and we'll catch you guys next time. Take care.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
like a social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.